I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the KSL Home Show, brought to you by Ozma Designs. We open the doors for local home buyers and sellers with a fast-moving show about Utah real estate and home design. Here's Heather Osmond and Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome on into the home show today. Thank you for joining us. Every week we gather here to talk about the latest and greatest in Utah's housing market. Heather Osmond, of course, with us of Osmond Designs, owner and interior designer, stores in Lehigh and in Orem. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, KSL friends. It's always so fun to be on this show and talk about everything and anything in the Utah real estate market. It's been a great week. We have fall break. If you are in the middle of fall break right now, you know, good on you. I hope you're out of town. If not, I hope you're doing some fun homeroom remodeling projects, whether that be on the exterior or on the interior. We get to talk about all the fun things.
Right. And I hope that if you are on fall break, you're listening on the KSL News Radio app. Wherever you podcast, you can search for the KSL Home Show and you can find this episode there.
Absolutely. Okay. This morning, we have Drew Armstrong back.
Good morning.
So happy to have you. He is one of the best real estate agents in all of Utah. Not only does he do residential, he does commercial. He has a team member, Matthew Flinders, who's currently out of town. We miss you, Matthew.
It's a good time for realtors to be on vacation.
I haven't seen him in weeks, and I really do miss him.
I don't.
He needs a break, though.
Only because
yes.
I don't get to go Armstrong and Flinders.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
It's still us.
Say
still
that. Armstrong.
We've been us for 20 years, so yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so Drew, it's been a busy month.
It has.
In real estate.
Give us
a heads up. What's going on nationally first?
Well, rates are up again, as we've been saying that they're going to continue probably to climb. This month, I just saw a report this morning that said that inflation is at 0.4 this month. Last month, it was at 0.1. That probably means that it's going to go up some more.
Well, we just saw pumpkins were going up.
Yeah, everything's
what?
Going. Yeah, we saw pumpkins are getting more expensive on the news this morning. So everything is. And so everything is wages have to adjust to the new housing prices, right? And so that's the reason that they're trying to slow housing sales down. In the spring, we had people bidding $100,000 over an appraisal set price for homes, and they've had to slow that. They need to slow that down. They're doing this on purpose to us, and it sucks, but it is the reality of the situation, and there's a lot of opportunities
there
that
really
it presents.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, let's talk about what's going on in Utah.
Well, in Utah, things are still selling. They really are. I have some clients that I went out and they're like, "Oh, we want to go see this house." And they've been looking with my partner Matthew. Matthew is out of town, and so they asked him if they could see something. He's like, "I'm out of town. My partner will take you." They gave me the MLS number, and I looked it up. It'd been on the market 3 days, and it's gone.
Wow.
Gone. And there are two different clients that I was working with in the past month that we made offers on homes and we were beat out by other buyers. So other people bid higher. In one case, we bid $40,000 more than the asking price. Now, this doesn't happen in every price range. If you get to $1 million+, and it obviously that depends on the neighborhood. But if you get in the most of Salt Lake County and Utah County, which is where I work, mostly. If you're over a million, things are a little softer. They're a little slower. But if you're under about 700,000, there's still a lot of competition. There's a lot of buyers and there's just not enough housing.
It's still that way all across the Wasatch Front, no doubt. Construction. Let's talk about new construction. It seems to be slowing down just a little bit.
Thank goodness, right?
And all of these builders are actually, if they haven't pre-sold the home, they're considering renting them. I know specifically in Vineyard, I talked to a builder who has about half of his homes already rented before he even put them on the market. And they're deciding to keep it that way for a minute.
Yeah, well, I mean, ever since the mortgage loan crisis that happened, you know, in 2008, 2009, now you've got big builders. You've got Ivory owns a whole bunch of rentals. You've got D.R. Horton owns a whole bunch of rentals. They've realized that in some situations, it's a lot more profitable and it makes a lot more sense to keep stuff rather than just selling it. And maybe they'll sell it later, but I think they're finding that it's not. And I mean, it's troubling to me in a way that we have so many big corporations that are involved in the residential real estate market. I mean, we have, like, you know, investors, huge companies that are buying up tons of homes. And I worry about that a little bit. But right now, interest rates being as high as they are, has people, the markets have slowed down a little bit. In a way, with new construction, there's a lot of opportunity because the builders still, a lot of them do want to sell homes, and they're coming up with new programs. And right now, with a lot of the builders, you can lock your rate from the first day that you start going into that property. You write a contract on it and the rate is locked. So it will be available at that same rate when they finish the property, which is really important because there are a lot of people that are like, there's no way I'm going to buy a new house, because if the rate goes up by a percent or 1.5% or 2% by the time I get the house built and I've put $30,000 or $40,000 into it, then what if I can't qualify? And so it's slowed things down for the builders. So the builders are getting smart and they're kind of working around that. Another thing that they're doing is a lot of times they are, you know, say it's not condos or it's nicer homes that are being built. They're waiting to put them on the market until later in the process. And what that means is that these builders need a good interior designer, because they need to make the house so that it appeals to the masses, so to speak, further along in the process. Because it's more like, instead of a custom home, it's more like an existing home for them to sell it. But they're selling it closer to its finish date, which is kind of fun because it means that you are able to actually go and buy a new home that you could be in 2 months instead of in 9 months. Because they haven't pre-sold it that far out.
So true. There's a lot more spec homes going up, I think, in every price point. I think, like you were just saying, a lot of these builders were burned because they locked in prices. They mm-hmm. had to deal with the client who was choosing all of the interiors and exteriors. And then the price of the home went up, you know, $60,000 in the year before the customer had even closed on it. So the builder not only had to sell it at that lower price point, but then also had to pay the extra costs and fees in lumber and concrete costs, and they were squeezed. And so builders did get smart, and they did decide that we're not going to put the house on the market until we are, you know, 30 days out. And so they did hire interior designers like our firm to come in and do all of those selections, which again expedites the process and makes things easier even for them, because homeowners take a lot longer to choose things than interior designers, who we use our experience and knowledge to help them make each home look individual and not like the neighbor's home, and, you know, get all of that done. This last week, we furnished an incredible home in the Park City area with all brand new furniture, so that the homeowner, who actually is an out-of-state homeowner, could sell their home. Again, it's coming up. Wow. I believe today it's actually hitting the market. But all of the professional photography will be done and looking like a model home, which is so important. Not only does it help you sell your home more quickly, but for more money. And Drew Armstrong, we're talking to the king of photography and videography over here, in helping your home hit the market. More people than ever are just shopping from their computer at home.
They really are. And it's one of those things where it's a little bit more difficult, obviously, to sell homes. We're getting back to a more normal market. And people have to get the house to look right in order to compete. Now we're competing again. It's not like you could put the house on the market and it sells over the weekend every single time, no matter what the condition is. And it's just a matter of, is it selling for $100,000 over because it's beautiful, or $10,000 or $5,000 over because it's a piece of junk and it's going to take a lot of work to get it to livable.
My lay advice, hire a Heather Osmond, yeah. Because I have done the go to Target and buy the Joanna Gaines plate sets and try to stage my home myself. That is not a recommendation I would make.
Thank
for
you, Lindsay. We love you. You're
right.
Awesome.
You're trying. Right?
Yeah, you're trying. Right. Yes, you're listening to the KSL Home Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The KSL Home Show, sponsored by Osmond Designs. If you like talking about Utah homes and real estate, then this is the place on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into the Home Show. Thank you for joining us here with Heather Osmond, who owns Osmond Designs in Lehi and in Orem. Heather, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Lindsay?
So good. It's good to be with you. This age-old question that I think people are dealing with right now, do you rent out your home? Do you sell it? How do you know how to make the right decision?
You know what? I actually have been fielding a lot of those questions this past week. If you are considering selling your home, if you do want to relocate, what do you do with your home? Do you sell it? Do you rent it? We have Drew Armstrong with Armstrong and Flinders, or Flinders and Armstrong.
Armstrong and Flinders.
A's first.
Armstrong and Flinders. All right. We've got Drew Armstrong in the house. Matthew, we miss you. We know you're out of town. I hope you're having lots of fun on vacation. It's fall break right now. And we get to continue with our home show here. So every week we get to come and talk about the real estate market, commercial, residential, everything in between. Drew, what do you think? Should you sell or should you rent?
There are a lot of questions that come into play when you are determining whether or not to sell or rent. One of the things that you really have to think about is that you have an exemption for that you could lose for your capital gains if it's been your primary residence. So if you've lived in it for the past 2 years, now I'm not a CPA, I got to say that. So if you've lived in it for the past 2 years, you have, it has to be two of the last 5 years that it's been your primary residence, which means that you have a window where you could probably get away with not selling and renting for 2.5-3 years. But it has to be gone by that 3-year mark after you've moved out, or you lose your exemption, which is $250,000 worth of your potential equity gain, or $500,000 if you're a married couple. And so if your house has gone up a lot in the past, well, since while you've lived in it, and you're going, well, I've got $400,000 or $500,000 worth of equity. If you wait too long to sell your house, you're going to lose. What you're going to do is you're going to pay taxes. You're going to pay a capital gain tax on that. So that's the first thing that you have to worry about. But if it has, like I just had a client who called me up on Saturday morning, and I sold them a townhouse as a rental property, and they funded the down payment with a HELOC on their primary residence. And
which is
like,
a home equity.
Yeah,
loan.
A home equity line of credit. And that those generally have a variable interest rate, and it's gone up. And he's like, well, I'm not making the kind of money that I was making before, and I've had a turnover. Should I sell? And I told him, no, don't sell it. Not right now. It's not a good time for you to sell it. It's a great time to be a landlord. And he's like, well, there's more stuff that has come up. He's up in the Heber Valley. And he's like, there's more rentals that have come on the market. We haven't had a whole lot of townhouses, and some are coming on. And so rents are a little lower up here than they have been. I said, that is unusual, because when you have interest rates have gone up, what you also have is you have families who are not able to qualify for a home yet. And the rental pressure goes up when interest rates go up. There's more people that are not buying. They're renting until they can, until the rates come down, or they can make a little bit more money or whatever. And the demand for rental housing always goes up when rates go up. I'm telling him, if you give it a little time, in general, the trends always follow. That happened when we went through the mortgage loan crisis, which was much worse than this. Rents still went up, even though prices went down a little bit. And I told him, if you have a super low interest rate, even if your HELOC is going up on the $100,000 that you put into it, the rest of your rate is super low. It's way lower than anybody can get right now. And so what's going to happen is that if people are buying investment properties today, and fewer are, but if people are buying investment properties today, the payment that they're going to try to get covered by their renters is much higher than yours is. And so rents go up.
100%. And I think it depends on the market and then your personal situation.
Absolutely.
I think cash flow is key. Depending on your cash flow, you may need the equity out of your home to buy the new home. But if you aren't in that situation, then keeping that property so that you can rent it is key. And I think with this cooling housing market, I think that rents continue to go up, just like you're saying. It's that supply and demand.
Or they have gone up. So, you know, if you went and you bought your house 4 years ago and it was a lot less money to begin with, and your payment is really low because it was a smaller mortgage and a really low interest rate, sometimes you go, okay, well, am I going to have to pay that capital gains? Well, I don't care, because I'm making $2,000 a month positive cash flow off of my existing home as a rental, because my payment is $1,000 a month and the rent is $3,000 a month. Well, my goodness, at that point, it's like, and if rents are going to continue to climb, and they will, then sometimes it's just better just to keep that. You convert it and keep it as a rental forever, then you don't have to pay capital gains that way either.
And then you get the equity, you get the tax write-off. So those are some of the pros. Let's talk about some of the cons. You know, all of us are dreaming of another tenant paying our mortgage, but managing a rental property does take time and energy. I know, Drew, you are a rental property owner. I've been a rental property owner. It's a lot of work.
It is
sometimes
a lot of work. You get that call in the middle of the night. There's a problem down there, and it's your job to figure it out and fix it. Or you could have what if you have a vacancy, or what if there's a risk to the property. One of the things, if you're going to convert your property to a rental, I always want you to talk to your insurance agent, because you need to lower your deductibles. I had a situation one time where a family was selling a primary residence that had been converted to a rental, and they didn't address the insurance, and the renters were horrible. And the insurance adjuster came in and applied the deductible to every piece of damage, and they had $70,000 worth of damage to this house, and they got about $30,000 worth of help, because they said the deductible applies on that hole in the wall, the deductible applies on this problem, and they only got the difference between these small, they had a lot of little problems. But so you gotta make sure that you address your insurance. You've got to make sure that you can that you have enough money in the bank, that if you had a couple of months worth of vacancy, that you can cover all the payments and everything. So that, yes, there are some things that you have to really think about when you're thinking about converting a property into a into a rental.
Choose your renter wisely, right?
Yeah, for
you
sure.
can make money. Lots of people do it in renting properties, but you can also lose a lot of money. So even if you charge just a little less rent, get a really great renter that you know is going to take care of your property. It's everything. You're listening to the KSL Home Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the KSL Home Show, brought to you by Ozma Designs. We open the doors for local home buyers and sellers with a fast-moving show about Utah real estate and home design. Here's Heather Osmond and Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into the home show. Thank you for joining us. If you are just finding us, you can podcast this episode wherever you podcast. Just search for the KSL Home Show. But I would recommend you download the KSL News Radio app because you can find us there as well. Lindsay Ertz here with Heather Osmond of Osmond Designs, owner and interior designer there. Heather, good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Happy fall break. It's beautiful weather. It seriously is one of my favorite times of the year. Utah is always booming. Real estate is still stronger than ever, despite interest rates crawling just a little bit. Home construction is slowing down a little bit as well, but things are selling. And we have Drew Armstrong on the show with us today. Welcome back.
Thank you, Heather.
How's it going?
Going great. It's been interesting. It's been fun because all of a sudden a good realtor is valued again.
Hallelujah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the case for a hot minute? Is that what you're saying?
No, it wasn't. But now people need our advice and our expertise and our experience. And it's not something you could just go throw it on the MLS or on the market and it'll just sell. People are actually like, what do I need to do to get top dollar? What do I need to do to get this thing sold? And they're asking our opinions based on our experience. And when you've sold a couple thousand homes, then you've gone through every kind of market and helped troubleshoot a little bit.
Experience goes a long way. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Okay, Drew, for this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about staging and the importance of staging in getting your home prepared to sell. This week, I have done 3 closet appointments. Being an interior designer, there's different things that you get to work on throughout the week. I don't know why. I've had lots of appointments this week, but 3 specifically about organization in closets. They can be in high-end homes. They can be in low-end homes, lots of price points in the middle, but it's kind of important.
It is important. And you know, I mean, just yesterday I had some clients that went and we looked at a house in Highland, and it's a beautiful home, all redone, remodeled. I don't know if they're flipping it or if the family is just smart and has really addressed a lot of the things, and they put new flooring in, repainted it, put a new kitchen in. But you know what? The master bedroom closet is a problem. And the house is a little older. And I'm like, well, this is where the house is showing its age.
That sounds like my situation. And I've already got plans for it, you guys.
Yeah.
As soon as my daughter is old enough to move to that basement, I'm knocking out my wall. I am building a huge walk-in closet with a door so that when I inevitably don't hang up my clothes, they can go in that big walk-in closet.
Well, you know, these guys were sitting there and they're looking in the bedroom that is behind the other closet. And they're going, could we take some of this space? And things like that. But the thing is that if you are, what's happening is people are not able to afford as big a home as they were able to afford a year ago. And so they're being pushed into a little bit less than what they had. And this is a problem. They're looking at houses and they're going, yeah, the master bedroom closet is a real problem.
It's not going to work.
It's not gonna work.
So Drew, as a real estate agent, you go into people's homes. As soon as you open the closet, sometimes there are things that fall out of
the
closet.
An avalanche.
Wait a second.
It's so chock full, right? You can tell how much a person has maintained their home just by opening some of those closets.
You open it up and you go, oh, this is why they're moving.
Exactly. Right. It's really becoming one of the most elaborate rooms in the entire house. I think the Kardashian clan has made all of us envious of those upscale boutique looking master closets. We all want to walk in and feel like we're shopping in our own closets. You know, we can have that depending on the size and space, but you can organize it that it can look like that. Just this last week, like I was mentioning, I had three closet appointments at different businesses throughout, you know, Utah here and the Wasatch Front. But there are so many great things you can do in closets. I mean, things I hadn't even been to see in the last 2 weeks, things have changed.
Yeah.
But you can do glass cabinets, the finishes. You can do wood finishes, painted finishes, the hardware, the drawers. Everything can be adjustable. I mean, jewelry drawers and
it reminds me of Modern Family.
Yes.
Yeah, because they own a closet store. Claire and her dad own a closet
store.
And their competitors are closets.
Yes.
There's a lot of things you can do with closets.
It's not just MDF shelves with a rod anymore.
No, and a lot of times there's devices, I should say, that make it so that every inch of space in your closet can be efficiently and effectively used. I was in a house the other day, and the closet was small, but the ceilings were high.
Yeah.
And they had these cool things where you could pull a rod down with all the clothes on them, and the whole rod would come down to eye level.
It's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, and so they put all their coats and their seasonal stuff on that rod, and they pull it down, and then you get the coat off of it that you need, and the whole thing goes back up, and it's way up high where you could normally never reach that. And it was, I mean, it's amazing.
I need that because I just have a shelf above my closet and I like fold my jeans up there and you pull one pair down and they all the stack
collapse
comes
on
down.
You. An avalanche.
Okay, so let me talk a little bit about just some budget tricks that you can do. I mean, everyone can't have a super luxurious boutique-y looking closet.
Right.
We all want that, right?
Lots of us have normal closets.
We have normal closets as well. So simple things you can do is add baskets, like Lindsay saying, put your jeans or sweaters or your ties or your socks or whatever in baskets. That's an easy way. In Mapleton this last week, we painted an entire closet, just a very light gray, and then all of the other cabinetry is white. They have a beautiful window, so it actually is cohesive with what's going on in the master bathroom as well as the master bedroom. That's a fun, inexpensive way to make your closet feel a little more high-end, a little more designer. But like we're saying, just have a little fun. You know, reimagine your closet space and make it somewhere you want to be. People are adding light fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just have to be a boring big box store. I won't say a name,
right.
But flush mail light fixture. People, if you have a larger closet, add a little mini chandelier. People are actually converting closets into office space.
Mm.
People are putting little secretary desks in there or makeup closets. Or they're adding a makeup vanity in their closet, which is actually
pretty cute
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ottomans are awesome.
I've seen people convert entire adjacent bedrooms into closets.
You got it.
That's going to be me.
Yep.
I love my daughter desperately, but as soon as she's old enough, she's gone downstairs.
She's booted. It's the best.
No, I mean, right now, this is one of those things. When we had COVID, people were interested, and even now they're paying a lot of attention to two offices. That's an important thing, and in some cases, converting a closet to an office, or having so you can have two offices and two quiet places to work, is something that's important. And this is a transitional. When you have transitions in the housing market, we have transitions in how people are using space.
Yeah.
And when things get more expensive, people are not as able to afford as much space as they have been in the past, and you have to use the space that you've got more
efficiently.
If you
don't have a spare desk in your kitchen right now, I don't even know who you are. We can't be friends, because that's what we all did during the pandemic.
Well,
right?
In Utah, we have lots of bedrooms, right? right, in all of these homes. And as your kids age out, Lindsay, your kids will get there. You have all these extra rooms that you will never use. So why not convert a spare bedroom into a closet that's right adjacent to your master bedroom? I think that's brilliant. We also want to talk about some other closet alternatives. Did you know that the average person has over 300,000 items?
Oh, gosh. And that's the problem with a bigger closet is I'll put more clothes in there.
Yeah. So editing back, right? We all have our favorite 10% that we probably just
wear
all the time and reuse. And wardrobes can also be great if you don't have a lot of space and need extra storage. Movable garment racks are also an option, like you were just saying, for your seasonal stuff. You can put those in a basement storage room and hang up those coats and fold the sweaters and put all of those away. Blanket chests at the end of beds are always fantastic just to store extra stuff in if you are short on closet space. And then under bed boxes, you know, those Rubbermaid totes that you can just roll underneath.
Or go get a new bed with storage in
there,
Heather, right?
In those footboards, they have drawers.
Yeah,
it's the coolest thing ever if you're short on space.
That's a great idea.
Amazing suggestions. Amazing suggestions. I need to do some of these. Drew Armstrong from Armstrong & Flinders, where can people find you?
UtahRealEstate.net is our company and our website.
UtahRealEstate.net. Yep. Heather Osmond, of course, of Osmond Designs in Lehi and in Orem. We'll take a break. More on The Home Show in just a minute.
It's the KSL Home Show, sponsored by Osmond Designs. If you like talking about Utah homes and real estate, then this is the place on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into the Home Show. Thank you for joining us here every week with you discussing what's new, what's the latest and greatest in the home and housing market. Heather Osmond here, interior designer at Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehi and in Orem. I highly suggest you get down there today and take a look at all the stuff she has for fall, even for Christmas, Heather.
I know.
You're one of those people who has to put it out. It's fine.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas at our stores. Wow. Temperatures are falling and we are so excited to help you cozy up your home for the holidays. It's fall break. If you are not out of town, it's a great time to get your home all dolled up with, you know, all the Halloween stuff, the Thanksgiving stuff. We are already selling Christmas and it's only been out for 2 days.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's Utah. We do that.
You know, the thing is that if you're not going out of town for fall break, you should go take a drive in the canyons. And you know what? The canyons are busy, but it's beautiful still.
So
it's
beautiful.
So, yes, right now, getting your house ready to sell is harder. It needs more effort than it has, than we've had to put into preparation in the past. And so that's one of the things we were talking about during the break, is that staging your home with different furnishings makes a huge difference, but you just got to make sure it's super clean. You got to make sure the paint's fresh. You got to make sure that the front door looks good. Get the spider webs out of the eaves, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, Drew, you have a funny story. You were telling me before we started the show, you have to share this. This is so great.
Oh, so I have some clients that we just put a place up for sale in Harriman, and it's a newer townhouse. They've been renting it for the last year. And I didn't realize, I went and took the pictures, and I didn't realize that there was some water damage along the baseboard in the kitchen where the ice maker had leaked. And you know, these MDF floorboards show when there's water that's touched them. And I got some feedback that's really important, that you pay attention to your feedback when you're selling these days. In the past, we've gotten lazy. We've never had to do it. But we paid attention to the feedback. I got some feedback that said, hey, this doesn't look great. So I'm like, I better go look. And I went out there and I looked, and sure enough, the baseboards were swollen and you could tell. And that's a concern when people have a lot of townhouses to choose from. And so I'm like, you know, I have a general contractor's license. I know how to paint the paint's in the garage. Look, there's even a brush. There's tape. I'm just going to paint it for him. And so, yeah, full service, right? So I
always go the extra mile.
He takes the pictures. He paints the rooms.
Right. So I mask it up. I get down on my knees. I paint the baseboard. And as I'm getting up from to clean the brush, I look and I've got some brand new nice pants. And I have gotten paint on my pants. And so I'm like, oh, geez, these are brand new. They're $100 pair of pants. I don't want to ruin them. And the paint's still wet. I can get it right out. It's latex paint. So I take my pants off at the half bath on the main floor.
Can we share this story? Wait, you took your pants off?
I had to get the paint out.
And the house is person's
empty.
Home?
I'm dying already. It's a vacant home, Lindsay.
Okay, it's vacant.
I mean, nobody's there. Right? Okay. So
Only Drew Armstrong does this stuff.
I'm standing in the half bath right inside, right by the front door, but around the corner a little bit, and I'm scrubbing paint out of my pants, and the door opens.
How did you not think that was going to happen? Like, this is like made for a movie.
The house gets shown like 3-4 times a week. What are the odds that somebody's going to show up exactly when I am taking 5 minutes to scrub paint out of my pants?
Like, what the heck?
I'm like, hold on. Stop. Just a second.
And in this house, you get a realtor with his pants down.
Well, what do you do? Do you yell, hold on, let me put my pants on. No, you can't say that. I'm just hold on for a second.
Only so did they Drew see you? Armstrong stories.
No, no,
you got your pants on in time?
They didn't see me, but it
and then you come out with your pants all wet from the seat from washing them.
Sure.
They're like, what the heck just happened?
Right. Well, I obviously told them what happened and what was going on because
Yes, we always have a hilarious, kind of edgy story with Drew Armstrong and his many adventures. I think you could be your own television show of the adventures of being a real estate agent.
We need a reality show to follow you around, apparently.
Right? Oh, no.
Oh, my word. No, but I think experience right now is so important. And I love that about you, Drew. You're just, I'll just go ahead and paint those baseboards. You know, Central Bank is a partner and a huge supporter of this KSL Home Show. We want to give a shout out to them. If you need a HELOC loan, a home equity loan to do any renovations on your home, please contact them. They do new construction loans. They're incredible. They're my bank. So proud.
Again, experience.
So proud to have them. And they are a huge supporter in this community. Thank you, Central Bank. So proud to have you. You're listening to the KSL Home Show. Drew Armstrong with Armstrong and Flinders. I'm Heather Osmond, owner of Osmond Designs Furniture and Interior Design Stores. We're running a 20% off sale just this weekend only. All of our prices are already 50% off retail, and then you receive an additional 20% off. No one beats our prices.
It's almost free.
Designer furniture at affordable prices. Come check it out. We'll be back next week on the KSL Home Show.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.